Acts chapter number 19, and the theme is, again, as I said, striving for revival, striving for revival. We'll be looking at that in just a few moments. Just by way of introduction in the notes here that I have in my book, starts off with a question. What is the cure? I'm not asking necessarily for answers. What is the cure for what ails our world today? Now, we have a headline today. Unfortunately, the headline almost every day is about one topic, and it's been that way for a period of time. Not saying that's a bad thing, but it is kind of overwhelming at this point. But setting that aside, if you will, the Lord Jesus came not only to give us eternal life, but the Lord Jesus came to give us abundant life right now. John 10:10 says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more what? Abundantly. So God, Jesus Christ did not save me to live a defeated life as a Christian. Now, I have defeats and so do you. I have discouragement at times and so do you. But I was saved, and if you're saved tonight, you were saved to have an abundant life. You were saved to live in victory, from victory to victory. And that's what it says there in John chapter 10 in verse number 10. But too often in my life, and I'm sure you would agree in your life, there are these things called circumstances that come into our life. Circumstances, by the way, that are beyond your control. Circumstances that are beyond my control. Where did that come from? You know, you get a phone call or something happens in a week's time and you think, boy, where did that, I wasn't expecting that. Exactly. It's impossible for us as finite minds to be able to anticipate everything. But praise be to God, He is sovereign, He is loving, He is merciful, He is all-powerful, and by the way, He's your Father if you're saved. Think about that. No matter what comes your way, no matter what comes my way, we have a Heavenly Father who's controlling it all. The songwriter said it this way, my Father planned it all. He even in that same song, it says, I sing through the shade and the sunshine. I'll trust Him whatever befall. I sing for I cannot be silent. Because my Father planned it all. You can whistle a tune like a bird every day, no matter what's going on around you, because we know that our Father is in control and we're in His loving hands. But many times, what do circumstances bring? They bring doubt. They bring doubt. They bring fear. That's a big word, isn't it, in recent days? Fear. They bring doubt. They bring fear. They bring a weakness. In other words, when temptation comes, if we're not living the abundant life, then when temptation comes, we're more susceptible to say yes to the temptation instead of saying no. And I find in my life, if I'm not careful, pardon me, that I can live in a non-abundant way. That is not what God intended for me to live. That's not how God intended for me to live. And that's why we talk much about the word revival. Think about with me with the word revive. We're going to come to our text here in just a moment, but I should have you look at this verse. If you have the book that we're looking, it might be in the book. But hold your place in Acts 19 and go back with me to Psalm 85. Psalm 85. We're going to look at a word here in Psalm 85, and then we're going to look about the way it is, what Hebrew word, that it's translated from. In Psalm 85 and verse number 6, we do find the word revive. The word revive. You see that there? Wilt thou not revive us again, that the people may rejoice in thee? Revive. It's translated from the Hebrew word hayah. Almost exactly like that. And you know what? When I had the Blue Letter Bible help me with the Hebrew pronunciation, I thought, it sounds like somebody just tried to chop a board. You know? It sounds like somebody's in Taekwondo, you know, or they're in whatever those things are called, and they're learning those. And it's spelled K-A-W hyphen Yah, Y-A-W. And here's, actually the Hebrew would have a lot more of this in it, but I'm not even going to try to pronounce it like a Hebrew would, because I would probably mess my throat up for the rest of the week. So you can try it later when you're at home. But just use a lot from down in here, and you'll get the whole meaning of it, pronunciation. But here's what it means, the word revive. It means to make alive. It means to give or promise life. It means to quicken, to recover, to repair, to restore, to save. All of these words from that one word, revive. We live in a dying world that's in need of life. Praise God, we have life in Jesus Christ. Praise God, tonight we here on a Sunday night, we're getting ready to jump back into the work week. We learned this morning, obviously, that this is not the end of the week. This is the beginning of the week. Don't let the world tell you Sunday is the weekend. Sunday is the beginning of the week. Yes, tomorrow is the beginning of the work week or the school week or whatever else is going on in your life tomorrow. And so, but praise the Lord, we have something in us, in the Holy Spirit of God, and that we have the Word of God every day that we can put into our life that revives us, that rejuvenates us, that encourages our spirit, so that when we go out into this dark world, don't forget time change. Okay, it just reminded me, speaking of darkness, time change this coming Saturday, fall back. It's great for an extra hour of sleep, but oh, those dark days, you know, 4:30, 4:45, and it's dark outside. But anyway, I actually, in one of my orders of service, had spring forward written down. I was so excited for spring that I thought it was spring forward Sunday. No, it's fall back Sunday. But anyway, we have something in us through the Holy Spirit of God that while we go into the office tomorrow, or we go on the work site tomorrow, or we go wherever we're going tomorrow, we go with the presence of God. Think about this. We go and spend time, however many hours a week, some of our employees, some of our coworkers, some of the people that are at the job or at the school or whatever, they may not be saved. They may not have the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They have nothing inside of them of any life. We learned about that this morning. They're dead. They're walking dead men. They're walking dead ladies. And what do we have? We have life. So there should be something different about the way we go through a week than the way someone who's not even a Christian goes through the week. You know, how dare someone who's saved, unsaved, look like they have more joy than I do, and I'm saved and on my way to heaven. It can happen if we're not careful. So, this is a dying world. It's in need of life. God's design is that this needed revival begins in the family of God. You know, we might think, oh, if somebody would get saved, that would do it. No, how about if I would see revival? That's what he said in 2 Chronicles 7:14. Remember? The Bible says there, if my people, I'm one of those peoples, I'm saved, I'm on my way to heaven, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. How will we experience revival in 2021? How will we do it? Well, we might look back at last week for a moment, and we might say, well, we had a missions conference, so we were able to come to church Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Well, that's great. We can schedule something on a calendar, but that's not revival. You can't put on a calendar and say, okay, this week we're going to have a missions conference revival. At the beginning of next year, we're going to have a revival meeting for 4 days. Revival isn't put on a calendar. Special meetings? Sure, we can call them revival meetings, that's fine, but that's not necessarily revival. We know how to attend a meeting, all right? You're here tonight, praise the Lord. You're joining us online, thank you for joining us. We know how to attend a meeting, that's not necessarily revival. So how do we experience a revival that produces something? See, to come into a church service and sit down on a chair and then go home and wonder, what did God produce in me? What did God do in the service? That's why when we come in the doors of the church, we come in the doors of the church on Wedgwood, we ought to come in with a heart that's wide open. Just not wanting to miss anything that God has. You know what it could be? It could be one line on a hymn that God has for you in a service. I'm not saying God doesn't have something in the preaching. We talked about the importance of preaching this morning. I'm not saying that. But don't miss, even while we're singing the hymns, don't miss that one line that you're going to come to and you're going to sing it. It was chosen a week ago. It was chosen 5 days ago. But there was one line within the song that God saw you sitting in the service, not thinking about what's coming this week or not thinking about what happened last week, but meditating and thinking about that hymn, and boom, that lyric, that verse, that line hits you and you know, wow, God put that there for me. You see, that's revival. That's experiencing something that God has for us in a tangible way that brings change. It doesn't have to be staying up all night praying. It could be, though. It doesn't have to be just coming and attending. No, it's coming with a heart that's wide open saying, I'm not going to miss anything in this meeting. And that's whether it's a Sunday night at 6 o'clock, a Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, a Sunday morning, whatever it is. It could be the RU meeting this coming Friday night at 7 o'clock. It could be a small group of ladies meeting in a Bible study whenever the next one is. It's that I want to get everything out of it. That's revival. That it's not a waste of time, that it's not an inconvenience. It's, I'm having a meeting with God. I'm having a meeting with God. And as we sit here tonight, we have to recognize that God wants more for us than even we want for us sometimes. That's revival. This experiencing, this that produces life in us, and here's the second part of it, that it reproduces itself to touch those around us. So it's so much in us. The song we used to sing in at Sunday school or somewhere was, Jesus' love is a bubbling over. Jesus' love is a bubbling over. Oh, oh, wonderful love. I might be combining two songs right there. I'm not sure. But it's bubbling over. God's love is so much in me that I can't contain it. It's bubbling over to my neighbor. It's bubbling over to my husband. It's bubbling over to my wife. It's bubbling over to my brother in Christ. It's not just that the revival is in me and it's only for me. No, it's so much in you. It's so much in me that it affects people around me. What'd you do yesterday? You know, Monday morning, the blues, the Monday morning blues, you know, it's Monday. Oh, no, we go into Monday with the joy of the Lord. I mean, we go into Monday, we ought to be flying into Monday. What happened to you yesterday, Barry? Oh, I got some time. I'll tell you about it. What were you doing? Well, I was in church. What kind of church is that? I need some of that. What's that? That's the revival of the Holy Spirit of God in you coming out. Just the way we carry our lives. It's not about me. It's not about us. It's about God in and through us. This world needs some of that. It doesn't need religiosity. It needs reviving by the Holy Spirit of God in me first. And they see it in me, and then God works in them, revival. And so as we go back now to the book of Acts, chapter 19... we'll take whatever time we have remaining and get into this tonight. I want to read this, a little note here about the history of Ephesus. In 133 BC, the city came under direct Roman control. I believe we mentioned that in one of our messages from the book of Acts. But under the Romans, Ephesus thrived, reaching the pinnacle of its greatness during the first and second centuries of the Christian era. At that time, at the time of Paul, Ephesus was probably the fourth largest city in the world, with approximate population of 250,000. Just so you know, that's about the size of Burnaby right now. Burnaby has about 250,000 in it, so about 250,000. During the reign of Emperor Hadrian, Ephesus was designated the capital of the Roman province of Asia. Today, the Turkish town of Seljuk occupies the site of ancient Ephesus. So Ephesus, as we know it, today is in Turkey. So we're studying what happened here in the city of Ephesus and how we can gain more from it in our lives. Number one, revival occurs when the truth of God is preached. Revival occurs when the truth of God is preached. You're with me there in Acts 19. And again, I'm thankful for the emphasis. Let's see what God has for us now as we continue in. That was kind of the introduction. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. Verse 10. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia, isn't this amazing, heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Everyone there within 2 years heard of the name, the word of the Lord Jesus. Imagine that. Imagine if somehow we could, in the next 2 years, cover all of the city of Burnaby with the message of the Lord Jesus. Now, I'll say, I didn't take the time to go back and do all the calculations, but in the last couple of years, through the gospel mail advance, praise the Lord, amen, we've mailed out over 250,000 pieces of gospel literature, not just in Burnaby, but all the way from Burnaby out to Port Coquitlam and everywhere in between. And to God be the glory. To God be the glory. Now let's think about this in the Bible time. The Ephesus Post was not helping them. Like Canada Post helped us, the Ephesus Post was not on board. They had no such thing, right? Of course they did. Not quite like that. But God enabled them with this, and in this period of time, to hear the word of God in just 2 short years. God's truth is always at the center of genuine revival. Always. What was at the center of Paul's ministry? God's word. God's word, and it'll always be that way. You're not going to find genuine revival with a bunch of men trying to manipulate what's going on. No, you're going to find that this book is what is at the center of revival. Yes, there's a lot of prayer, but that's not necessarily what we're talking about right now, but that is a part of it. But the Word of God will be there. Acts 17 and verse 2, the Bible says, "And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures." Notice the word manner. The word manner there in Acts 17, 2. In every city, Paul would get out into the public. Isn't that a testimony for us today? Get out into the public with the word of God. Let's not get into this idea that we're just going to try to pray all of the lost people into church. That's what we're going to do. We're going to pray that all the lost people come to church, and then pastor's going to preach a message, and all the city's going to get saved. That's not what happened here in the book of Acts. That's not how Paul worked. He went to them. He went to places of worship. He went to the synagogue. But they weren't preaching necessarily the truth of the gospel in those places, and he went with the truth. I think it's a great admonition for us in 2021 not to lose sight of the fact that as we are in the church here tonight, we have the truth so that we can go out into the world with the truth. And not so that we can become like the world to win the world, but so that we can be a bright and shining light for the glory of God, and that God's word will be what brings repentance. God's word will be what brings salvation. But we must go into the world with the Word of God. Letter A. We find here that the apostle gave a message of reason. Of reason. Look at verse 8. It says, "He went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading." Disputing and persuading things concerning the kingdom of God. Disputing and persuading, by the way, please don't think for a moment necessarily that means arguing. Arguing. However, it meant that he used the logic and the reasoning, look what it says, concerning the kingdom of God. He used the logic and reasoning of the Word of God. Let's stay with the Word. I remember hearing this sometime in my Christian life. it's much more powerful, or not powerful, but it's more convincing. I don't know if that's the word I wanted either, but to say the Word of God says. As we're talking to people, the Word of God says this, not I believe this. No, it's God's Word says. Well, yes, we believe God's Word, but if we're talking to someone who might not be a Christian, we want to let them know this is what God's Word says. It's not what Pastor Turner says. I hope it is what Pastor Turner says too, but that doesn't mean as much as this is what God's Word says. And yes, we believe what God's Word says. So the apostle was using reasoning from the Word of God. He had the prophecies found in the Old Testament and many of them that were fulfilled in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he could go over those with them. We learn several things from Paul's example. Let's look at quickly a couple of things here. Number one, from Paul's example, we learn an example of boldness. Boldness. Turn back with me to Acts chapter number 4. A great mark of the first century Christians, and again, related to saying we want to be a Bible church, we want to be a church that's based on the Scriptures, the first century church, was boldness. And I want to say this with all due respect, and I know for me, I need more of this, but you know, I think all of us could use a little more boldness in 2021. Not brashness. There's a difference. Brashness is more pride. I'm better than you. Boldness goes with humility. It just says this is what God's Word says, but it comes from a heart of love, as we learned in the missions conference. It comes from a heart of compassion. I think we need more holy boldness as men and women, as we take the Scriptures to people. But there was an example of boldness. Acts 4:31 says, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost." You know, there's the key, right? If we want to have boldness, there's the key. Pray and filled with the Holy Ghost. I think if we take those two things out, then that's why many times maybe we don't have the boldness that we need, because the prayer isn't there and we're not filled with the Holy Spirit. Those two things came first, and then when they came, what does it say? They spake the Word of God with boldness. You think God can enable you to be bold? You say, boy, I can't speak and this and that. And that. Don't worry about what you can't do. Don't focus on what you can't do. God can use all of us in this room tonight to do something great for Him if we're prayed up and we're filled with the Holy Ghost. You'd be surprised what we can do for the glory of the Lord. Don't focus on what we may not be able to do. Yield ourselves to the Lord. Pray. Be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. This is what we learn from the Apostle Paul, an example of boldness. Secondly, we all learn an example of preparedness. Preparedness. The confused world we live in today does not need our cliches or our parroted responses. They get enough of those on the news. No, they need to know, they need to hear from people that are students of the Word. Now, you don't have to have a theological degree to be a student of the Word. You don't have to have a degree from such and such a seminary to be a student. Everybody in here tonight has the ability to be a student of the Word. Everybody. Again, I submit to you, the dictionary will help us to be a student of the Word. We get to a place we don't understand something. A student of the Word says, I want to find out what that means. I want to know what that means for me right now, today. What does this mean for me? How does this apply to my life? And while, yes, the preaching time and teaching time will help us with that, believe me, that's not the only way to become a student of the Word, is just to listen to preaching. Now, I listen to preaching during the week all the time as much as I can, because I need to hear preaching. But that doesn't make somebody a student of the Word because they listen to somebody preach for an hour or 45 minutes or half an hour or till midnight, like we learned earlier today, all right? No, a student of the Word is someone who's opening this book up 7 days a week and trying to see, okay, what is there about this verse that I need? What is there about this chapter? What is there about this particular part of the Bible? Let's study this out a little bit. Because who knows what's going to happen? Who knows who you're going to meet? Who knows who you're going to meet next month? Who knows who you're going to meet tomorrow? Who knows who you're going to meet next week? And the question that might come, and I will tell you more times than not, and it came, no, I'm not saying because I'm a pastor. The people didn't even know I was a pastor. But a question came up about the things of the Word of God. And it happened to be something that either I had been studying or something that somebody else had been teaching me through listening to preaching. And I was able to say, well, you know what? Here's what God's Word says. Let me just say, I failed more times than I've succeeded, but I want to become a student of the Word. Sometimes I just have to say, and it's okay to say this, you know what, I don't know, but I'm going to get back to you on that. You don't have to always have the answer. By the way, if you didn't notice, this mic, it just bothers me, okay? I'm hoping, Brother Joey, can we just use this? Okay, thank you.
Goodbye with this thing. I feel like I have something stuck in the side of my head the whole time, so I'll just try to stay put. Oh, that's much better. Oh, good. But it's okay to say, you know what, I don't know the answer. Let me get back to you. By the way, it's much better to do that than to try to make something up. You know how full of pride we are? We want to be able to say the answer every time, answer every question every time. Look, take a step back, swallow, and say, you know what, I don't know the answer, but I'll get back to you. That's much better than winging it, like you're like writing that paper, you know, and it's everywhere, every other line is snow. We don't need snow answers when people need things from the Lord. We need biblical truth, but we can be prepared, students of the Word. It says right here in my teacher book, they don't need professors or theologians, they need everyday Christians who are growing in their knowledge of the Word. Just growing every day. The song says, read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. Turn quickly to 1 Peter chapter 3. Let's look at a verse here. 1 Peter chapter 3. So we're looking at letter A. The apostle gave a message of reason. 1 Peter 3:15, the Bible says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you. And here's how we give it: with meekness and fear. But we want to be ready. We want to be prepared. The apostle gave a message of reason. Number two, the audience had a mixed response. The audience had a mixed response. First off, the Bible says, but when divers were hardened, means many were hardened and believe not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude. So there was a mixed response in verse 9. It didn't matter about the boldness. Remember, it's not about the boldness of you or me. So we might look at Paul, we might say, wow, he is the pinnacle of boldness, maybe. So we got to be as bold as Paul. Well, guess what? Paul was pretty bold, but guess what? Not everyone believed because Paul was bold. So we have to be able to recognize that it's not about us going in with this, whatever it may be, and thinking everyone's going to believe because we're bold. That's not what happened. And by the way, look at the Lord Jesus. The greatest teacher, preacher ever. The walking Word of God. And of course, many rejected him. Never a man spake like him. It just shows us today that the hardness of man's heart, who man has willingly allowed it to harden, by the way, God has not originally hardened a heart. Yes, God may harden a heart after man has hardened it on his own. God may give that man up or that woman up to a reprobate mind. That does happen. We read that in God's Word. But that's only because that individual has hardened their heart to the preaching and teaching of the Word of God already. Because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But we must not allow the rejection of the message to keep us from sharing the message the next time. You know, we get a little bit, pardon the expression, but we get gun shy. We give the gospel or we give a track and somebody's like, just even a simple thing is giving a gospel track and get these new tracks. Pastor Nathan did a phenomenal job designing these. They don't do any good sitting on the bookshelf at the church office. Get these things in our purses, in your purses, not mine, but get these things in our purses and in our pockets and in our cars and let's give them out. But not everyone takes the track and says, oh, great, I'll be there Sunday. What time? It doesn't happen. And that's okay. And some people say, maybe look at it and realize it's a church and then they want to give it back. And you know what we start, you know what that does? You know what that does to me after giving tracts out for I have no idea how many years? You know what it does to me? Inside of me, something just goes. It's happened I don't mean to discourage you, but it's happened so many times I don't keep track. But you know what? Every time it happens, there's something inside of me that goes. And then I think, the next time I need to pass out a track, I'm remembering you know who. He may not have even been mad, but he just didn't take it. And you know, the devil uses that. The devil uses that. And it's not about, I shouldn't be focusing on the one person that didn't take the track. I should be thankful that I live in a country where I can actually whip out a gospel track without, you know, being, you know, arrested on the spot. And I should think about things like that, that I live in a country where I can continue to hand out the gospel. And while one may reject it, the next five will take it. It's not about me. It's not about us. It's about this message. Boy, Paul, he looked at that. What if Paul would have looked at that? By now, he would have been done. We wouldn't even have the third missionary journey or the second missionary journey if Paul would have responded to the rejection that came to him. He would have just stopped after journey number one. I guarantee you that would be the case. And let's not allow the word of God to stop because we're discouraged because somebody rejected the invitation or whatever it may be. Bible says that Paul moved on to teach daily in the school of Tyrannus. We talked about that on Sunday mornings, and I think we'll just continue on now to letter C. Letter C, what else happened? Well, here we go. Asia was miraculously reached. Look at verse 10. We talked about it a minute ago in our reading. He continued by the space of 2 years. Let's just pause. Look at this. He could have just stopped right here in Ephesus and said, well, you know, we've had a little bit of pushback, and so we're done. But he didn't stop. He kept on going. It took 2 years, but after 2 years, the Bible says everybody in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. A miracle. This is in the western coast of modern-day Turkey. Another term that we give for this is Asia Minor. Asia Minor, this area. We can think back to our reading of the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3. There were seven different cities to the church of. Many Bible students believe these seven churches got their start as a direct result of Paul's 2-year missionary term here in the city of Ephesus. Turn with me, if you will, to Luke 24. Luke 24. We would have to say that this is an exciting step in fulfilling the Great Commission of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what it says here in Luke 24. And he said unto them, verse 46, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Look at verse 47, please. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name, notice, among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And that's something we've been studying way back in the beginning of the book of Acts. The church just took off in Jerusalem. Some people believe that it was up into the 100,000 in the church at Jerusalem. And finally, God had to say, okay, we're going to bring in some persecution now because this thing's got to, we got to get the message out. It was always God's plan. I almost made it sound like God thought, okay, we have to do something about this. God is sovereign. He knew all of this ahead of time. But we wouldn't have known that. They wouldn't have known that. But here it says here that there was a reason why he died. There was a reason why he went through that, that the word of God might be preached to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You see, this book right here is still in need of being preached in all nations. You know, I come in here tonight, and because we saw this auditorium for several days with all those beautiful flags and everything up, when I walked in tonight, I thought, oh man, there's a lot missing in here. And we look at those nations, and many of you come from, you were born in another country besides, as I was born in another country besides Canada, but this is our home now, this is your home now, and yet we think of all the different places around the world, and the greatest need all of them have is not better health care, although that's a need in many places. I said the greatest need they have. The greatest need they have is not a well for water. Although there are a lot of places that need wells of water, and we know of one of our missionaries who's been using that as a great gospel outreach there in Honduras, Brother Tate. The greatest need the world has today is the same need that Ephesus had 2,000 years ago. They need the Word of God. And they need the Word of God, and many times you and I are the Word of God that people will see before they ever hold a Bible in their hands. We are a walking testimony to the power of the Word of God. That's why it is so vital that revival begins in my heart. Because again, many people will never see a Bible first. They'll see you first. Someone told me this today about an individual. This is what they said. They said, that individual knows the gospel. They know exactly what they need to do. They know that they're not saved. They know they need to get saved. I said, what's holding them back? Now, this is what they said. I'm not digging in and I'm asking, but I want to know how to pray. They said, well, because of some Christians and the way they were living their lives, they haven't been able to overcome some hypocritical Christians in their life. Now, you know, that individual will be accountable to God, not for the hypocritical Christians. Let me tell you that right now. They'll stand before God someday and they'll answer to God for themselves, not because of hypocritical Christians. But you and I both know that sometimes that is a very big stumbling block that Satan uses. Maybe even in your life it's been that way, or my life it's been that way. I hope and pray I would never be that to someone else, but maybe I have been before. Unbeknownst to me, I'm capable of that, you're capable of that. I don't want to be a stumbling block. That's why we need the reviving. That's why Psalm 85:6, wilt thou not revive us again? Remember? Hi-ya. Be revived again. That's right. So we can smile just like those ladies did because they saw me doing karate. Because tomorrow, hey, we have opportunities. We have opportunities that we know not of, but they're coming. I want to be ready for those opportunities.